WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Monday. Welcome into a new week here on the program and a new day. Hope yours is starting off well. It's a bright and sunny one out there, and as you just heard Kelly Bates telling us, it's going to be, you know, not muggy. It's going to be nice and comfortable today. We've got a couple of days worth of 70 degree weather coming up, so for someone like me that doesn't like the heat, perfect. For somebody who loves as much warmth and sunshine as they can get, sorry. That's Barry. Barry and I are like complete opposites. Barry loves to be outside, loves the sun, loves the summer. I'm like, hey, I'll stay inside where there's air conditioning. See, and you thought it was just the politics that we were opposites on. But no, it's the weather as well. So it's going to be a busy day here on the program. It is Money Monday, so we're going to be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz at 7 o'clock to talk about retirement. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world, especially when it comes to finances, and that's why Manny joins us every month to kind of talk us down from the ledge a little bit and also to help us with long-term planning and strategies, because many of the people who are listening are not going to be retiring in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Many of the people who are listening are going to be 20 years from now. So they're the folks that I think, you know, can look at this and say, as people who are on the outset of this and haven't gone through this like other people have, who have already invested in their retirement and have gone through ups and downs over the years, and have kind of learned to accept that this is what happens. Some of the people that are, you know, my age and maybe even a little bit younger, they've never gone through something like this. So they get, I think, a little bit more panicked. Might be a good question to ask Manny later, is who does he hear more concern from? You know, people just starting out with their retirement, or people who have, or getting closer to the retirement time. I won't say age, because it's going to be different for everybody. So we can talk about him with that. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo for his regular weekly appearance. A lot to talk about with him. We can get his, although he did put out a press release about it, but we can get more of his take on Councillor Morad's decision not to run for re-election. We can talk with him about the vote to restore the Zeitarian funding, which we knew that, you know, he was going to vote in favor of. He voted to fund it in the first place. And we'll get an update on what's going to happen with the other items, the other supplemental budget items that were not passed on Thursday that were referred to the Finance Committee. So we'll find out what that process is going to be. And we'll take your calls and questions with the Council President. And, of course, I'll take those at any point during the program, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll also have today's edition of the Gen X Files after the 7:30 news. And plus lots of other discussion as well. And I want to start off this morning with, I guess, a bit of an apology. Now, in the news business, when you have information that is incorrect, you know, You publish what's called a retraction or a correction. And usually that's because the reporter got something incorrect. Or maybe they got bad information from someone that they didn't verify. And I'll be honest with you, like, we are not in the business of investigating the news. We are not in the business of even really reporting news per se. I would say that we are more disseminators of news. And, you know, this is not a, this station is not a station where, you know, like WBZ, to mention another radio station here on the air. But WBZ has active reporters working all day long, bringing you the latest on stories. Here, we're more of a commentary station and a chance really for you to call in and comment on things. So we're not down at the hospital following up with all of the things that are going on with some of the victims of the fire, like, you know, some of the other news outlets would be. WPRI has been all over this. I know some of the Boston stations have been all over it. So for us, we just share with you the announcements that are made by the DA's office, which is, you know, who the identities of the victims. And then we know when we get the final report, which will probably come from the Office of the State Fire Marshal, you know, we'll share that with you as well when the cause is determined and all that. But so when we take the information from the DA's office, when it comes to identifying victims, we definitely take that at face value. As I think every news organization does. And as you saw with what I'm going to talk about, every news organization did. So last week, on Thursday, they had reported that the 10th victim in the fire had passed away. Brenda Cropper, 66 years old. She did not die immediately in the fire. She had suffered significant burns all over her body. WPRI had reported she had a 10% chance of survival. And then there was all kinds of confusion because they said that at first that she was 63 years old and they were speaking to her daughter on the record. Her daughter gave them statements, quotes that they use in the story. And then the DA's office was trying to say that there was a 66-year-old woman that was in the hospital in critical condition. And so, you know, the assumption was made that these were two different people. And at one point, the DA's office said that there was two people in critical condition. But apparently it was always one person. I don't know where the confusion came from there. But I would send emails to the DA's office asking for clarification and got no response. In fact, I've sent numerous emails and gotten no response. Maybe this is just an email address that doesn't, you know, it just sends out info. It doesn't take back info. I don't know. I'll have to call over there and find out this week. But then on Friday morning, they sent out a correction that there had been a miscommunication with someone at a medical facility and that Ms. Cropper had not passed away, that she remained in critical condition. And that's a pretty big mistake to make, to say that somebody had died when they were still alive. Now, it said in the statement that they had contacted the family to let them know what happened, which is really the most important thing here. It's, you know, whatever, if you got it wrong telling us, but good thing that you notified the family and apologized, I would assume, to them. And then later on, Friday afternoon, Ms. Cropper did pass away from her injuries, and they put that release out Saturday morning. So if you got a little bit confused by the news that said, you know, 10th victim on Saturday, when we said there was only 9 victims on Friday, after saying there was 10 victims on Thursday, there are now 10 victims in the fire, and she passed away. And I'm sorry that, you know, this situation got so confusing. I hope that the Cropper family, this didn't add to their anguish already. Because I can only imagine what this week must have been like for them, you know, knowing that their loved one, their mother, their grandmother, was not going to make it, and it was just a matter of time. So apologies for having the misinformation, but we were just sharing the information that we were given. But yes, now 10 victims in the fire, still investigating for the cause of the fire. I think the city has done, the city of Fall River has done a good amount of work in being transparent about the inspections and what was going on there. I get that the owner had all kinds of issues. I get that there were concerns with rats and roaches. All of that certainly comes into play in terms of what people felt about the facility, but at least in terms of the fire inspection, things were okay. Were they okay enough in terms of fire preparedness? It doesn't seem that way. And so that's why some of the local legislators are now pushing for more stringent rules and training for the people who are running these facilities and staffing these facilities. So again, you hate to say, you know, silver lining in such a tragic event, but if something good can come out of it, if some greater level of preparedness and precaution can come out of this, at least you can say those 10 victims, I guess, didn't die in vain. So we'll certainly keep up with that story as new information comes out. And then, of course, we will keep you up to date with all of the news stories that come across this week. And I've got a feeling you're going to hear more about the city council election. I think we probably, you know, a week out here from Councilor Morad's decision not to run for re-election, you might start to hear more buzz about more names, people that are interested in running. We can find out, you know, and as I'm sorry, as we find out, we can discuss the chances of each of these folks of being elected. And of course, on Chris McCarthy's program, South Coast Now, which immediately follows this show, he will have the candidates come on as we get closer to the election, or closer to the preliminary and then the final. As you know, he does a great job of trying to manage and balance, giving everybody that equal time. And he does a great job of making sure that at least those members of the council that want to come on can come on. And if anybody on the council ever feels like they don't have a voice on this station, that they can't call in, you've got my number. If not, you can get it from the council president or any of the councilors who do. Whatever you may feel about how, you know, Chris McCarthy has treated certain counselors with the nicknames and whatnot, I've always been fair to everybody. People aren't tuning in to this show to hear what I think about the city council, like they tune into Chris to hear what he thinks. They tune into this show to hear counselors in their own words. And that's what I would like to offer you if you feel like you can't have your say on other programs. 508-996-0500, that is the number for regular folks to call in. Counselors should have the VIP line. And if you don't, shoot me a text and I will give it to you. I always ask, if you are going to call me on the VIP line, just text me and give me a heads up so I know that it's you, because sometimes it doesn't always come up with your name. So let me take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And Welcome back in. Well, you won't have to wait anymore for the news because we got the news coming your way right now with Mike Roberts on the other side, 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in, take it away, Mike.
President Trump marks his first 6 months in office. An update on the Coldplay Kiss Cam CEO, and many couples say they would go into debt for their pet.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump marking his first 6 months in office by proclaiming the U.S. is the hottest and most respected country in the world.
In a Sunday post on Truth Social, Trump claimed his second term is being hailed as one of the most consequential of any president. He went on to list ending major wars and took credit for what he called the revival of the country that was dead 1 year ago. Trump ended the post with "Happy anniversary." I'm Lisa Carton.
The NYPD says it was a moped-riding illegal immigrant who robbed and shot an off-duty Border Patrol agent in a midnight shooting on Saturday in a Manhattan park.
The New York Post is reporting it was an illegal immigrant with a deportation order who shot the federal agent in Fort Washington Park. The suspect is identified as 21-year-old Miguel Francisco Mora Nunez, who the Department of Homeland Security says entered the U.S. illegally in 2023. Mora, a Dominican national, reportedly has a lengthy rap sheet, including 4 arrests in New York City. The 42-year-old federal agent was sitting with a female companion when Mora allegedly robbed him. The two exchanged gunfire. Mora was hit and showed up at Harlem Hospital where he was arrested. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Reports indicate it was military-style ordnance that exploded and killed 3 L.A. County sheriff's deputies on Friday. The explosion happened at a training facility and rocked the surrounding East L.A. neighborhoods. Law enforcement sources say that the device had been picked up Thursday in Santa Monica. The blast happened when the deputies were moving it in the training center's parking lot. The White House is using declining gas prices as evidence of President Trump's energy agenda taking effect. It comes after AAA announced the average price of a gallon of gas has dropped to $3.16, marking the lowest seasonal gas price since 2021. A White House spokesperson touted the achievement, saying prices at the pump keep dropping thanks to President Trump unleashing American energy. President Trump says the Genius Act is great for all Americans.
Trump signed the bill into law at the White House on Friday and said this is the right step forward.
Crypto builders and founders were under relentless assault by the Biden administration, which was trying to crush your industry and crush you as people and go after your families. And they were a vicious group of people.
It's Congress's first major cryptocurrency bill in the country, and it creates regulations for a type of cryptocurrency known as stablecoins. The president said the crypto community was mocked for years, but the signing of this bill is a validation of the digital currency. I'm Chris Caraggio.
A new survey says dual-income couples with no kids are going into debt for their pets.
The survey found that 94% of these couples view their pets as family members, with 68% of these pet parents saying they have made financial sacrifices to cover pet essentials. The couples surveyed spend an average of $1,900 a year on their pets. Only 11% of those surveyed said they don't splurge on their pets. I'm Lisa Taylor.
$1.3 billion in frozen federal funding is being released by the White House for after-school programs. The move comes after pressure to release the funds started coming within President Trump's own party. The Trump administration earlier this month announced it would be withholding nearly $7 billion in school funding, citing what it called instances of money being grossly misused to subsidize a radical left-wing agenda. Tech company Astronomer launching an investigation after its CEO was caught on camera snuggling up with the head of human resources. Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot were shown in the Jumbotron at a Coldplay concert in Foxborough, and they immediately tried to hide their faces from the camera. The company said it's looking into the matter and will share details shortly. A clip of the embrace went viral online, getting more than 20 million views. Byron resigned over the weekend.
WBSM Sports.
The Sox avoided being swept in Chicago yesterday, beating the Cubs 6-1. Red Sox travel to Philadelphia tonight. First pitch, 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're expecting tons of sunshine as we go through the day today, a light northwesterly wind, and a cool, comfortable high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, we're expecting clear skies. Your low will be between 65 and 70 degrees, and the sun will continue to shine for Tuesday with a high near 78. I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
One, two, three, four.
And if you have HBO Max, the documentary series, I guess, it's a two-parter. So just because it's long, so they broke it into two parts. Billy Joel and So It Goes. So I was watching the first episode because HBO Max releases stuff like that a week at a time because they're putting it on HBO at the same time. So it premiered on Friday, the first one, and I guess the next one will come out this Friday. But when I was watching it, I was pretty deep in, and I said, well, they must have just put both parts together because this is really long. And then at the end, it said, you know, end of part one. I was like, whoa, 2.5 hours for part one. This reminds me of the History of the Eagles documentary, which I think was like 5 or 6 hours long. But, oh, my gosh, worth every minute of it. I say History of the Eagles is probably the best band documentary I've ever watched. And whether you like the Eagles or not, I'm not like a super fan, but it was just so well done. But this is really good too. And if you're a Billy Joel fan, I highly recommend it. A lot of behind the scenes stuff, a lot of archival stuff that you probably never got a chance to see before. And a lot of honesty about the way things were going in the early part of his career. So it, not to spoil it for you, but it ends, you know, after Glass House is released and his first marriage is breaking up and, you know, before he becomes 80s pop icon, Billy Joel. So, but this was probably, I'd say it's up there with the History of Eagles in terms of the quality of this documentary. So very excited for the next part to come out this weekend. Yeah, because yesterday I didn't really do anything. I just sat around and watched TV. I got some work done in the morning and then just kind of sat around and watched TV because I was wiped out. I went to the airport. I brought a friend to the airport very early Saturday morning. So she had a flight at 5:40. And so we wanted to get her to the airport, you know, 2 hours before that. So I picked her up at about 2:40, 2:45. And I had gone to sleep. When I went home from work on Friday, I ran a couple of errands, got home about 7:30. Then by 8:30, 9 o'clock, I was in bed. So I got up at 1, took a shower, you know, got ready to go. Picked up coffees on the way. And, of course, I knew we were going to be able to drive right in to Boston, so I didn't think we would have an issue getting to the airport, but apparently there's all kinds of road construction going on. And so certain entrances to the tunnel weren't open, and we ended up going on this, like, circular ride around Boston that ate up about a half an hour's worth of time, but she still got to the airport with plenty of time. But I went to go into the tunnel at one point, and they had it all coned off. And then when I came back after dropping her off, and the GPS brought me back around that way, as I pull over, I see him taking the worker taking the cones off and opening the tunnel back up. I'm like, well, figures now. But we were talking about, you know, the train and how beneficial the train would be for getting to Boston if you could, A, take a train at 2:45 in the morning, which I can't imagine there'd be a lot of interest in that, but also, you know, taking it without having to transfer trains. I was like, well, maybe someday that'll be the future, but for right now, this is what you're stuck with. But we talked about when she gets back taking the train and going into Boston for a day because she hasn't ridden it yet and her daughter's been asking her to take her on it. So I was like, yeah, we can do that. Let's just make sure we have a plan of what we're going to do in case for some reason we have trouble getting back. But it seems like all of those issues have settled down. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But yeah, going to the airport, I don't see as a big deal. Like if somebody's like, oh, I need a ride to Logan, I'm not like, oh my gosh, Logan, oh, no way. Like I don't mind it. Maybe it's because I was, you know, at one point a weekly driver into Boston, not daily, but weekly when I was covering the Celtics, I'd try to go to a game a week during the season, you know, when they were home. Usually Wednesday nights they were home, and I would go to a lot of those Wednesday night games. Because back in those days, Thursdays was the only day I didn't have to open the diner. I went in at 7, so it was a little bit better. But so I don't really mind the ride. It's always the curveballs that you get thrown with things like traffic. And usually the GPS, the Waze, I use Waze, usually that can help you avoid that. But I guess it doesn't get notified unless somebody notifies it, and nobody's notifying it at 2 o'clock in the morning of a tunnel being closed. And then next week, I told her I'd pick her up at the airport because it's on Saturday. And I was like, oh, that's fine. It's in the afternoon. No problem. But then I just happened to mention that to somebody and said, well, you better hope that Sunday isn't a rainy day then. What do you mean? Why would that matter? Because if it is, everybody's leaving the Cape on Saturday. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Well, maybe I'll just leave early and go do some stuff in Boston before I pick her up. Speaking of Sunday, don't forget that this Sunday is free laundry day at Dash Laundromat. Whether you go to the original location, One State Road in Dartmouth, or the brand new location on Rodney French Boulevard across from Kilburn Mill in the old Advance Auto Parts, you're going to be able to come and wash and dry your clothes for free. Free laundry day. It's their way of celebrating. Well, it's an annual event, but they're also doing it to celebrate the opening of that brand new New Bedford location. And you can find out more about Dash and all the great stuff that they offer there. And maybe you'll become like me and you'll just have them do your laundry for you. Or at the very least, you'll realize you can have a better way of doing your laundry. So I will see you over there on Sunday. Both locations. I don't know which one I'll be at what time, but we'll be out there at both. I just saw a call dropped off, but if you want to call back in, I'll take a break. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase. In a dance hall days. We'll go on crazy when I you.
Welcome back in. That is Wang Chung. Everybody Wang Chung this morning, instead of tonight. Don't wait. Why wait to Wang Chung? You can Wang Chung anytime. So there's a story that this might weird some people out a little bit. Now, I like lizards. I always wanted to have one when I was younger, and I always said, oh, when I'm an adult, I'm going to get a nice big iguana, and I'm going to have, and I decided not to do it because they need a lot of care, and I don't know that I would be the best person to take care of a lizard. So maybe my parents were right when they told me growing up, like, yeah, you don't really want a lizard. So maybe they were right. But anyway, I never got one. But there are people who are definitely conspiracy people, block your ears for a minute. Lizard people. I mean, people who are really all about having lizards and other reptiles as pets. And some of those folks get the ones that you're even not supposed to have legally. And apparently that must be what happened in Webster, Massachusetts, because a reptile that was owned illegally is now on the loose. A water monitor is on the loose in Webster, Massachusetts. It's a very large lizard. It's been on the loose for 2 days. It was last seen in the area of Blueberry Lane in Upper Gore, according to Webster Animal Control. The lizard is known to climb trees and seek water, but is not known to attack humans, dogs, or cats. So they were searching the area of where the lizard lived, of where its home was. But that search was eventually called off, and now they're just asking if anybody who sees the lizard to call animal control or the police department. Police are advised not to approach the lizard and that it be handled by professionals. But imagine that. You're just like out at the local pond taking a swim, and you're like, just going to go jump in the water and relax. And then all of a sudden, like, here comes this water monitor. Very, very large. About the size of a small dog. Maybe even a medium-sized dog. So if you are up in the Webster area and you see this water monitor, do not approach it. Call the police. Call animal control. Let them handle it. I don't know. If you're going to have a illegal lizard, how do you let it get out? Because guess what? He's not going home. All right, let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back. Stay tuned. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, it is Money Monday, so we'll be joined by Manny, the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial Services. We'll talk with him about retirement and about what all of this stuff going on in the world means for your retirement. And then, of course, in the 7:30.